We have an event at Central Florida Bible Camp. We have a high ropes course. And part of that high ropes course, we have the giant swing, which is essentially two 70-foot poles with a wishbone kind of cable system. And we pull children slash victims up to 40 feet. And they release a cord and they come swinging out over the lake. Lots of screaming. Some of the worst screaming I've ever heard has been on that. That's another story altogether, but lots of screaming. We also have what is called a leap of faith. I think it's a misnomer, but that's, you know, it's a Bible camp. We've got to call it that. Leap of faith is essentially a 40-foot telephone pole with climbing spikes in it. And you are put into a harness, full-body harness, shoulders and everything. And behind your neck are a double carabiner system with all the fancy knots that you learn to tie when you facilitate this. I'm one of the facilitators for this event, so we get it set up. And the rope goes up and over a reduction system that is higher than the 40-foot pole. It's suspended out from that pole. And the intent, or what you're supposed to do, is climb up to the top of this pole and stand on top of the telephone pole, which is essentially, if you want to look at the pew Bibles in front of you, it's about that wide. That's how much pole you have to stand on at the top. You don't get a nest, you don't get like a big platform, you get the top of the pole to stand on. And that rope goes over that reduction system and down into another reduction system that kind of zigzags through another pole, and there's a belay team of 8 to 10 people that come out, and they hold you out there. And technically, the facilitator that's doing this could do it themselves. You just wrap that around it one more time, and you could do it yourselves, but it makes the person who's climbing the pole feel much better that there's 8 to 10 people out there that has their pole, their lifeline, so to speak, rather than just that one individual. And so as a facilitator, I tell the people who are getting ready to climb, the climbers, I tell them, I said, all right, the facility we have here, all the mechanics of this pole, the carabiners, the cable system, we could suspend basically any sedan that you have out there in the parking lot. We could suspend from this system and it would be fine, right? It is weighted for way beyond what you need in order to make this leap. But I have to keep reassuring them as they go up this pole that you're fine. We've got you. They need to be assured as the ground is getting smaller and their friends are getting smaller and they're climbing up this pole, they have to be reassured that everything is going to be just fine. And there are things, and many of us want that kind of assurance, don't we? We want somebody saying everything is going to be just fine. Climber, keep climbing. You're just fine. And God gives us that assurance. So we looked in this passage in Hebrews, this was read for us. Those people who are walking by faith, they had some assurances. They walked with a confidence that God indeed would bless them. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for you must first realize that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If we're diligently walking with Him, we will have these assurances. Well, how do we realize these assurances? Of course, this starts with faith. We need to have faith in order to have these true assurances. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Do we believe what God is saying when He says, "I want you to come to me, I want you to have a relationship"? Are we saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to do that, I want to come and have a relationship with you"? Do we believe in those things? It is made complete in hope. Hebrews chapter 6 in a couple of verses here. "And we desire each one of you to show some earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end." Full assurance of hope. Faith and hope working together to provide that assurance. "We have this, a sure and steadfast anchor, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain is what we see in chapter 6, verse 19. So is our hope anchored on the promises that God has given us? Or are we making sure that we have this kind of hope? It is confirmed in love in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. By this we shall know that we are the truth and reassure our heart before Him in this love that He provides for us. It's the effect of righteousness. Isaiah, speaking of righteousness, Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And the work of righteous will be peace, and the service of righteousness is quiet and confidence forever. Quietness and confidence forever. The righteousness that we know that if we're living in a right way with God, that we can have this calm assurance and confidence in Him. Of course, we need to understand the nature of the gospel. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding. There is a wealth of blessings in being able to be reassured of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself. If these things are in place and we're growing in these areas, we can realize this kind of assurance that God has blessed us with and understand what He's saying about His promises over and over again, be reassured. And those things are helpful. When we go through life, we're making tough decisions. You're making decisions on a daily basis, on a weekly basis about where you go, how you operate in your faith. And God is standing behind you the whole time with His Word. You can do this. You can do this. But do we realize that assurance that He's blessed us with? Well, what assurances has God blessed us with? What assurance has He given us? He says that our election is sure. We can know for sure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, remembering before God our Father your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, beloved by God, that He has chosen you. Those things we can know, we can be certain of. Job, in all the uncertainties that were happening in his life, he was certain of his redemption. He says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. We sing that song. Did you know it came from the book of Job? Can you imagine his life? All the things he went through, all the uncertainties. Why are these things happening? But I know that my Redeemer lives. We can believe and have assurance of our adoption. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. Could you imagine being able to see God that first time? We have promise of our salvation. Again in Isaiah 12, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. This can be said at any point in history when man puts their faith in God and knows that God has provided that salvation. We can still say these words that, behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. 1 John chapter 3, chapter 5, rather, talks about that we can be sure of our eternal life. And there's those out there who would say, no, you can't be sure because you never know if you're in or out, in or out, in or out. But John tells us we can know that we are saved. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's very plain. That doesn't leave anything to guesswork. I can know that I have eternal life. I can be assured of eternal life if I'm walking in the light, if I'm doing the things that John prescribes here, these things that he writes about, I've written them to you so you will know. Satan wants to sow doubt. That was the first thing he did. The first rattle out of the box with mankind when he spoke with Eve was to sow doubt. To sow doubt in God's promise, to sow doubt in what God had said would be the truth. Romans chapter 8 would speak otherwise. It speaks of the great love of God. For I am convinced, do you hear that word? I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Are you convinced of that thing? Are you convinced of it? Now, it's another thing if you decide to walk away. It's another thing altogether if you decide to walk away. But God is saying that nothing will separate us from His great love. And we have a union with God in Christ through the church because we are members of His body, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We have an indescribable peace with God. Not a peace necessarily that will always, we'll have tribulation in life, but we have a peace with God that surpasses all these things. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Lord Jesus Christ. That's the peace we want. That's the kind of peace we want, is having that peace with God, to be reassured of a relationship with Him. We can have knowledge of God's preservation in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul writing here, this was towards the end of his life. A lot of things were not so great in the life of Paul as far as the longevity of his life was concerned. And he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things," the things that he was imprisoned for, "but I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of being in prison. I'm not ashamed of standing up for what I've done. I'm not ashamed of these things. For I know whom I have believed." I know. Where are you right now, Paul? Paul's in prison, sitting on a stone floor, possibly, or in house arrest, in prison. "But I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted in Him until that day." Paul, what did you entrust to the Lord God? Everything. Everything he entrusted to God. He had a knowledge of God's preservation. We can have a reassurance of heard and answered prayer in 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. "Believe, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him." Do you want that kind of confidence? Do you want to be able to pray a prayer in confidence, knowing that God is hearing the prayer and that God is listening to our hearts and listening to what's happening? "Because we keep His commandments and do the things which are pleasing in His sight," is what John would go on to tell us. We can have God's comfort in affliction, Psalm 73. "My flesh and my heart might fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Do we know that our bodies are going to fail? David also says in another instance, "Lord, help me to know the end of my days. Help me to know how frail I am." You ever seen somebody, and especially maybe somebody in their youth, who walks around like they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof? I've seen people drive that way, right? Our bodies are frail. We know those things. "And even though my flesh is frail and my body will waste away, I still have strength of my heart in God. He is my portion forever." And because of those things, because of that confidence, we can have victory over death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning of verse 56, we've read, "The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I can be assured of that victory. Climber, keep climbing. We can be assured of that victory. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't matter if even facing death. We can be assured of those things. 1 Corinthians tells us that we can also be assured of this resurrection. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ." You see there, their relation needs to be, yes, all men, but not all men will raise to a glorious resurrection. And all men need to make sure they have this relationship that they belong to Christ. And in doing so, we will have a crown of life. James chapter 1 talks about this. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. And James talks a lot about trial. He says we should rejoice in trial, not something that we want to hear necessarily. But if we remain faithful in trial, he says, "For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Are we ready to make sure that we have our lives in line with God and that we have this kind of assurance? It's one thing to walk through life, to go through life, and to just survive. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody that's living a life that they're just trying to survive, just trying to make it through the day. But it's another thing to walk through life with confidence in every step that knows, I know no matter what happens, no matter what happens, I have these assurances of my Lord, and He has promised these things. And these are things that we can believe in. And there are examples of those. There are a bunch of examples throughout the Bible that tell us about those who have had this kind of calm assurance. And you can read through the chapter 11, read through the rest of chapter 11 of Hebrews and see these people who have had this assurance in God. You can read through so many examples in the Old Testament, and David, of course, being one of these examples throughout his life. Again, we go back to Psalm 73, and he says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me. You will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you?" Do you see his confidence? Do you see his trust in God? Here is full, this is what full assurance in God looks like. This is what he said essentially whenever he was going out to face Goliath. Why is he taunting the God, the living God, this uncircumcised Philistine? Why is he taunting the living God? And he goes out to fight him with 5 smooth stones and a stick, right? But he had proven those things. He had proven God in his life with the bear and the lion and those things first. And in the same manner, we don't start off with the hard things. I remember when I first started having to be an adult. Do you remember when that happened? And you had to like start making adult decisions and like adult life came and you weren't under the umbrella of parental protection. And life, like you had more pieces of the puzzle to deal with. You don't start off with all those pieces, right? In a perfect world, you're given a little at a time as you can handle it. And in like manner, as we grow in our faith, we're given things and pieces to work with, and we grow in our faith. You don't start off like David walking out to your Goliath. That's not your first battle. You start with the other areas, with the lion and the bear and the other things in your life before you go out to the giants. But he had that calm assurance. He had an assurance that a king would trust his kingdom to this youth. Do you understand? We don't see the thought process there with Saul and trusting David with this. But he had that kind of assurance and faith in God. And Paul, as we have mentioned earlier, is another. And he says here at the end again, "At my first offense, no one came to stand by me." When he first went out to preach the gospel, nobody stood with him. Why did they not stand with him? Because they thought it was a trap, right? This guy who had been persecuting the church is now preaching? Right, sure. "Nobody stood with me," but what does he say? "But all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me." And maybe you're in a situation where, hey, I'm out on my own. Nobody's standing with me. Nobody's got my back. Even from way back, nobody's got my back. But the Lord is standing with me. I know I'm doing what's right. I'm standing on righteous principles and doing what God would have me to do. And I'm strengthened so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. What is he saying? Was he literally? No. But he was rescued from danger on so many different occasions. And he makes reference to Daniel and his assurance of God. "I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." Where is his heavenly kingdom? Paul's saying, he's going to bring me safely home. He's already in the kingdom, right, when he's writing this. But he's writing this that he had calm assurance that God would bring him safely into his heavenly kingdom. He's at the end of his life. He's been in prison more. I mean, if we had any preacher nowadays who was in prison as much as Paul, he wouldn't be preaching for many congregations. But he had calm assurance that God would be with him. He did not say that he wouldn't die. He said, "I'll go to heaven." And he was assured of those things. We can have that kind of assurance. We can walk through many different things. We need to strive to have that kind of assurance. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." And we need to strive to maintain this assurance. "For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed, conditional, we hold our original confidence firm unto the end. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great rewards." And that's the reward we want to talk about. That's what we've been talking about. That confidence, if we don't throw it away, if we hold on to that assurance that God has promised, it has great reward. When talking to the people who are climbing the leap of faith, my conversation with them is just one more step. Just one more step. The purpose of the Pamper Pole or the leap of faith is not necessarily to get all the way to the top. And the purpose is not necessarily to get to the top and jump out and hit the red ball that's hanging out there. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to go as far as you can possibly go. In the same way in life, we go as far as we can possibly go and do as best as we possibly can and push and go. And God, through His assurance, is saying one more step, one more step, one more step. And we go as far as we can possibly go. In our lives, we're going to have different kinds of struggles and challenges and things that we're afraid of. But God has said, "I have assured you that you can live a life. I've given you all the promises. I've given you, made the way plain so that you can have a life of assurance in calm confidence that I'm fine as long as I stand with the Lord. So the Lord will stand with me, even if nobody else will." And the way to have those that kind of confidence is we need to start down that path of a relationship with Him. We need to believe that He is. We need to confess His name before men. And not just one time, not just the one time, but always, always. We need to repent of the things that are going on in our life. We need to make that change, as we talked about this morning, to put Him on a baptism and to live faithfully, keep living with that kind of confidence and that assurance. And we live in a life, we do this together. This is not a Lone Ranger concept. We do these things together. Then we walk together. And sometimes you'll have somebody beside you helping you along the way saying, "One more step, one more step." And sometimes you will be that person that walking with the others saying, "One more step, one more step." But will you take that first step tonight as we stand and as we sing?